Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show on Sports Radio 670, The Score, to which we welcome is Zach Harper. On Twitter, he is at Talk Hoops. You read him at FanRag Sports. You can hear him in the back-to-back podcast. Zach, how you been, buddy? What's up?
I'm excellent. That's how I live my life as well.
T-shirts. Yeah. As you should. Can we learn anything from how the Rockets were defeated last night? Or is that just one of those playoff games where sometimes certain shots aren't falling and the other team just has you?
Well, here's the weird thing is that Utah went completely against what Utah does in terms of they got the Rockets off the three-point line. That's something that Utah is really good at. But Donovan Mitchell went from being an incredible scorer to an incredible passer. They switched the way they were setting screens, and instead of setting screens that allowed the Rockets to switch, they flipped the screens, causing all kinds of confusion, like which is stuff they never do. And then they pushed the pace against the Mike D'Antoni team. The slowest team in the league pushed the pace. Like, they just flipped everything on its head, and the Rockets didn't really know what to do with it. And I think maybe the lesson from all that is the Rockets have gone against the grain so much with this extreme, you know, spacing, extreme three-point shooting, that maybe you just have to do everything they expect you not to do.
Watching last night, I couldn't help but notice that with about 4 minutes to go in the first half, Mitchell checks out because of a foul, and the Rockets made their surge. I mean, Harden was great. They made some free throws. He drew some fouls, and they got some points on the board without the clock moving, but they didn't seem to start doing it until about a minute or two after Mitchell had checked out. And despite them coming back from the hole they were in and making it a thing for a little while, it seemed like that was a missed opportunity for them those last couple of minutes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, anytime Mitchell or Joe Ingles were out of the game, the Rockets needed to capitalize on that. And maybe that's a confusing thing for some of the national audience watching this series, but that's really what it is. Is like those guys are so important to what the Jazz want to do that anytime they're out of the game, the Rockets really have to just separate themselves. I mean, obviously the Rockets are the better team, but they didn't play like it last night. And if they don't hit threes, they have to find another way to get there. And they did an okay job in the first half. James Harden got to the free throw line a bunch of times. But in the second half, they didn't capitalize at all. Again, like they made their run, but then once they made their run, they seemed like they were just kind of tapped out.
We got the news that the Phoenix Suns are going to be hiring Igor Kokoskov to be their head coach. He is the Utah Jazz assistant.
Actually, it's Igor.
He's Igor, who is well regarded as a developer of talent. Meanwhile, there are a lot of openings here. We're finding out that Jim Boylan of the Bulls has just been given permission to interview. JB Bickerstaff is going to be retained, his interim tag lifted to give him the job in Memphis. But then what? We've got Atlanta, Milwaukee, and the Knicks, and the Magic, and Charlotte as well, where it's the same names. We keep seeing Fizdale and Blatt and Clifford and some of these guys. What do you make of the current coaching market environment, and is it good to see some new blood getting opportunity?
It's great to see the new blood get opportunities. I don't have a problem with some of the – like Steve Clifford should be an NBA coach. David Fizdale should be an NBA coach. Mike Budenholzer should be an NBA coach. Like, all these guys are good to great NBA coaches. So I want them to stick around, definitely. But there are a lot of talented assistants in the league. I mean, Igor Kokoskov is phenomenal. Like, he helped Steve Nash. He helped Goran Dragic. He's helped Luka Doncic, who's going to be a top 3 to 5 pick in the league. He's helped Donovan Mitchell and Ricky Rubio. Like, he's helped so many players over his time that I think with a lot of these cases, you just want to see a good fit. It's not even about, like, is this a good coach? It's that the Milwaukee Bucks, they have so much top talent on that team that, and they don't run any kind of system. I mean, it is like they're playing pickup ball out there. There is almost no system at all on either side of the floor. And that is frustrating because that's how you lose Giannis Antetokounmpo in the future. They need someone like Mike Budenholzer or Steve Clifford to come in and implement a system. A team like the Hawks, you want someone like David Fizdale to come in and develop with X's and O's. With the Suns, they made the right hire. With the Grizzlies, I think J.B. Bickerstaff's a good coach, and I think that's retaining him is the right move. But you just want to see these teams build some kind of continuity instead of just cycling these guys through year after year after year to and really, like, let's just be honest, the problem with a lot of these situations is it's ownership, right? Bad ownership creates these situations where you just need to cycle in coaches all the time.
Is Becky Hammon waiting for Greg Popovich to retire? Is there a handshake deal there? Because I'm wondering why people just aren't beating down the door to interview her.
Well, here's the problem with that is, like, I think she's going to be a coach in the NBA, a head coach in the NBA, and I think she's going to be a good one. But when you look at the hierarchy of that staff, I'm pretty sure she's still in the second row of coaches on the bench, right? Mm-hmm. Coaches on the second row don't typically jump into head coaching jobs elsewhere. So I do think there is still a procession that needs to happen in which she keeps moving up the seating chart on the Spurs assistant staff until eventually she's in position to get hired away. I don't think she's probably not ready to be a coach right now. It's probably a couple years away. You see a lot of that with a lot of assistant coaches in the league. There really is a lot more to learn. I mean, the whole Luke Walton situation with going from the Warriors to going to the Lakers in the short amount of time he did, that's pretty rare. So I think there's still a lot of seasoning that needs to happen with her, needs to happen with a lot of coaches. But it wouldn't shock me if they felt like, all right, Pop's probably got 3 more years or however many years he has left. Becky's going to be our person for that eventual replacement.
Talking with Zach Harper, who is at Talk Hoops on Twitter. You can find his stuff on FanRag Sports and the back-to-back podcast here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I'll ask the hot take type question, but on this show, those come with apologies for asking a hot take type question. Who's in a rougher spot down 0-1? Is it the Raptors or is it the Sixers against the Celtics?
Raptors. Raptors are in a tough spot, even though the Cavs suck. The Cavs are a terrible basketball team. Like, they're awful. They have no continuity. They have no chemistry. They have no defensive principles. They don't really even run that much of an offense other than, here, LeBron, please go do stuff for us. But they have LeBron James, and LeBron is that good to where the way the Raptors blew game one, I mean, they should have won that game by 15, 20 points. And it just it felt inevitable that they were going to lose it, especially in the last, like, 4 minutes of the regulation, and then once it goes to overtime. Like, it just felt like we've seen this story before. We've seen this movie before with them. And so all the demons they exercised in the first round by really doing a good job in the first couple of games against the Wizards and really having control of that series even when it was 2-2, all those are gone. All the demons are back because they blew a game again, a game one at home, they blew that against LeBron. And it's just until they show that they can beat LeBron, they're always going to be behind the eight ball.
It still comes down to me to the sustainability of LeBron over the course of a long series. Because at some point, he has to be a human being. At some point, a 33-year-old man logging his minutes, doing what he's doing. I just think you sort of you do this like the Russia against Napoleon, where if you keep retreating into the winter, eventually the supply lines freeze over and you've got them trapped. And can you just drag out a series long enough that LeBron can't continue to be superhuman?
I mean, you would think so, but we're in year 15 of this.
I know.
I'm not convinced. You say he has to be a human. Why? Is he a human?
At some point, he is.
He's 6'8", 270. He moves like a point guard. Like, that's not human. That's alien or cyborg or something. Like, he's like the new RoboCop, which is not as good as the old RoboCop, right? But the RoboCop remake, he could move. He was moving around. He's running all over the place. I know I'm one of, like, 9 people who saw that movie. But new RoboCop was dangerous. He could run and jump and all this stuff. That's what LeBron is. He's the cyborg who can move like a human. And so I just don't believe that he's going to break down at any point. I think he's tired, or at least his battery's low or whatever it is, but he's not I'm done expecting him to get tired at this point.
Okay.
I'm done expecting him to hit the brakes or anything. Like, it just doesn't make any sense for him to be as good as he is at this point in his career.
LeBron's also a better actor than RoboCop, the new one.
Yeah, much better actor.
Ugh, that's awful. The Celtics have one hell of a coach, knowing what they've gone through to get where they are, the injuries that, I mean, Gordon Hayward is basically never on the court. Are you as surprised at that? We have read some think pieces the last couple of days about just how good Stevens has been in this. I get the sense that you're not as surprised as others.
No, because I mean, at this point, this is kind of just what he does, right? And I don't want to disparage what Isaiah Thomas did last year, because he had an incredible season. But now you see Terry Rozier kind of plugged into a similar role, and he hasn't been as good as Isaiah was last year, but he's been pretty good. And maybe this is just a product of the system. Like, it's kind of Popovich like, where you set up a system in which guys buy in, and if you recruit the right guys to buy in, which he and obviously Danny Ainge to a much greater extent have done, then it's not that hard to create the culture they want. And once they have the culture in place, you really are just plugging guys in. So even someone like Shane Larkin, who I'm not even certain is an NBA player at this point, he comes in 12 to 16 playoff minutes a night, and he looks pretty good. He looks like an NBA player. You put him on almost any other team, you'd be wondering why he's in the game at any point. They do this with, they can plug Jason Tatum, who's a rookie. They can center things around Al Horford, who we forget is a five-time All-Star and a really good defensive player. Like, they have all these pieces that just work and fit. And Marcus Smart, who can't shoot a lick. I mean, historically, the worst three-point shooter in NBA history. And he comes in, and it's like, you don't mind him taking threes because he's doing all this other stuff to create winning plays. That's the big thing with Marcus Smart. They say he creates winning plays. And so at a certain point, we just have to become numb to the fact that Stevens is this good of a coach. The Celtics have that good of a culture. And if they ever get all of their all-stars on the court at once, it might be something special.
Last thing I have for you, Zach, what does it mean that after all of what he's been through, that after coming back for the final 10 games of the regular season, even posting a triple-double, that Sixers point guard and first overall pick Markelle Fultz is now even behind TJ McConnell in the playoff rotation?
It's frustrating because I do think he can do more. I trust Brett Brown because Brett Brown's an excellent coach, and he's done a great job of developing players with his staff, and I think you do have to give him a little bit of trust here that he knows what he's doing. But when Terry Rozier is carving up whoever they throw out there at point guard, I got to think that the 6'4", 6'5" Markelle Fultz, who's got a great build and is athletic and moves his feet well defensively for a guy who's barely played, I'd like to see him out there for just a couple of minutes. It's a lot like, granted, this guy has a lot more experience, but what the Jazz did with Dante Exum on James Harden last night. Dante Exum has shut down James Harden in, like, I think in 26 possessions in this series. James Harden's 0 for 8 or something like that, which is a small sample and all that. And James Harden will eventually break through. But I think Markelle Fultz has similar abilities defensively where you could at least disrupt what's going on. And TJ McConnell he's a cult hero in Philly, but he's not really that good of a player. Like, I'd like to see Fultz out there get a shot to at least be a spark off the bench.
Zach, great catching up. Great information. We appreciate it, as always. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
That is Zach Harper at Talk Hoops on Twitter. He writes for FanRag Sports.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.